Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, the political marathon has come to a close at the state capitol. Hundreds upon hundreds of bills bounce between chambers, shape-shifting along current of negotiations. Well, the legislative deadline of midnight and even potentially a little after midnight has come and gone. And the bills still standing now await the governor's signature into law or veto. Ashley Zavala is the California Capitol correspondent at KCRA 3 and joins us with a bigger message from this session. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning, Vicky.
How late were you up last night?
Oh, my goodness. I think I went to bed at 2:45 in the morning. I think lawmakers called it a night or a morning at 2. So, yeah, it's been a long one.
I wouldn't have blamed you if you came in PJs. So I
thought about it. I really thought about it.
I appreciate you for making the trip. How many bills are we talking about?
So just to give you some perspective, I mean, the process starts with thousands, and because it is a two-year session. But at the start of Monday, there were a little more than 500 bills between both the Assembly and Senate chambers. So that essentially gave them about 3 days to weigh 175 of them. And then up until 2 o'clock last morning, that was the last one. So those were the last ones, I should say. But yeah.
Why do lawmakers wait until the 11th hour?
So, you know, as we saw with the governor's energy push, for example, there are some bills that, you know, they must meet the 72-hour requirement that gives 3 days for public review of any changes or amendments made to certain bills. And then there's the added urgency clause to some of these measures that require a two-thirds vote. And those measures are able to actually go beyond that midnight deadline. So, like in the case of the Diablo Canyon bill last night to keep the state's nuclear power plant up and running, that vote came up at around midnight, and debate lasted for about 2 hours on that.
You know, when kind of brushing up for my conversation with you, I had to remind myself a session is technically 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Yeah, 2 years. I think it coincides with elections. Assembly members have 2 years, and then it's just that's the session for each, you know, California component there. Yeah.
Given that this isn't the governor's first session, what do you think is different this time, given that you've followed him since the beginning?
Yeah, for the first time in his 4 years, this was his fourth session, we saw him really get involved and intervene really in the last few weeks of the legislative session, requesting the legislature put forward bills in his climate and energy related package. So that's something that we have never seen from this governor. Normally, I mean, he's like to stay out of a lot of these conversations. And even in the weeks leading up, he's tried to, you know, not talk about bills that are on his desk. I think, you know, he likes to take the time to do that. But yeah, he was very upfront about what he wanted out of this last few weeks.
So pushing his policy through legislation.
Yes.
You know, climate, as you just mentioned, was the big story, especially late last night. There's a slew of energy bills. Can you help unpack them for us? Let's start with Diablo Canyon, which is it's the state's lone nuclear power plant in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, the state's lone nuclear power plant. And the governor, this was really a centerpiece of the governor's climate and energy push, essentially requesting that the legislature first provide PG&E a loan of $1.4 billion to help keep the plant up and running. It's extending its life for up to 5 years. So right now the plant was supposed to shutter in 2025. This would extend that to 2030. And, you know, you might be wondering, why now? Why do this now? Well, the federal government has created this program to help struggling nuclear power plants stay up and running. It's a $6 billion program. PG&E would have until September 6th. That's less than a week from today, to apply for those funds. And so this really clears the way for that process to happen. And also just some of the license and, you know, capital improvement applications that could take years. So that is where the urgency came for this.
How does this fit into the governor's climate goals?
So, you know, I think on both sides of the aisle here, and Governor Newsom, certainly a proponent of this, noting that this is a zero carbon way to ensure grid electricity. I know it provides a little less than 10% of the state's overall energy, but this is just one way as California moves into its goal to, you know, rely on zero carbon renewable energy, reducing 91% of its reliance on oil and gas within the next 2 years. Lawmakers note that this is something that could really help while in the process of, you know, having the energy demands that we do, supply chain issues that are holding up some of the state's renewable energy storage and generation. This would just help be a buffer in this transitional time.
Did this actually receive bipartisan support? That can be a rarity in California.
It did. And what was actually interesting last night watching these debates play out in two different chambers, this is two different groups of lawmakers in the assembly, we saw overwhelming bipartisan support. We did not see a single lawmaker stand up to talk against this bill. And again, this was in the assembly. Progressive Democrats were mostly those who held off from voting and did not also weigh in on this debate. But in the Senate, we saw a handful of Republicans stand up, including Governor Newsom's opponent, Senator Brian Dahle, who question the timing of this, who say, you know, we have more than 2 years to figure this out. Do we can we really rely on PG&E to follow through? You know, those kinds of arguments. And so Republicans on that side were a little hesitant, but overall, this did see overwhelming support.
You know, given that this was something that the governor was pushing, I mean, would this be a moment where his office would probably reach across the political aisle in terms of negotiations?
So I think that is certainly what happened in some cases. I had a couple sources tell me that the governor's office administration officials were talking with Jordan Cunningham, who was actually, and you don't see this very often, but he was the one who presented the bill last night in front of the assembly, who really kicked off debate overall in the legislature. And so it's not every day you see a push that Governor Gavin Newsom is behind being presented by a Republican.
Right. Another big initiative that the governor has talked at length about is his response, or what he calls a new solution towards homelessness and severe mental illness. And this is Care Court. Where does that stand now?
Care Court is passed, and that seems to be what will be law, essentially. That's the bill that he proposed, that he pushed for. It took a couple months before we saw anything really in print or figured out which lawmakers were going to take it. But yeah, that passed. It would set up essentially a branch in county courts to distribute court-ordered care to those who are severely mentally ill, unhoused, to get them off the streets and into treatment.
Given that this is, the third session during a pandemic, where do COVID bills stand now?
Yeah, this year really was a struggle for COVID bills. In the beginning of the year, this year specifically, once the vaccine was had the emergency use authorization and everything, there was a whole work group created in the legislature to come up with a series of bills and rules revolving around COVID-19. But at this point, all of them seem to have died, and including Senator Scott Wiener late last night announcing that he would pull his bill that would have allowed teens to get vaccinated without parental consent, and that just didn't have the votes.
Another controversial bill that's had a lot of debate involves the fast food industry.
Yeah.
And that is now moving forward, but that I think it's still unknown whether the governor's obviously going to sign it into law. What strikes you about this bill?
Yeah, this is a big, this will be a really big mystery on how the governor moves on this, because you have a very powerful labor group, SEIU, Service Employees International Union. They are very heavily behind this. They're the main proponent, and they've had a lot of workers that they represent come out and be very forthcoming about labor violations in their workplace, in their fast food workplace, whether that's Jack in the Box, Del Taco, McDonald's, for example. A lot of people at the state capitol really wanting lawmakers to know what's going on in their workplace. But on the other side of this, you have the California Restaurant Association and franchisees questioning why fast food workers, when there are some studies that the California Restaurant Association has pointed to showing that those labor law violations that these workers are referring to only make up less than 2% of claims that the state is dealing with. And so on their end, at least the California Restaurant Association is saying, hey, you know, what SEIU and what these workers are pushing for, these are already violations of already existing state law. Maybe the state needs to look at enforcing those laws as opposed to creating this whole state council just for fast food workers. What does that say for, you know, others who may have even larger amounts of complaints against their own workplaces as opposed to just this industry specifically?
Has the governor or his office commented on this in any way that gives you some insight into how he may weigh on this bill?
No, not yet. Yeah, to be seen.
TBD. Mm-hmm. Talking about labor issues, we did have UFW, United Farm Workers President Teresa Romero on yesterday. They had a 335-mile pilgrimage for a bill that will head to the governor's desk. Last week, the governor said as the bill stood, he would not support it. Has anything changed since then?
No. And you know, I think a lot of us were standing by Sunday night to see if maybe some sort of deal would be out in the open or struck between the groups. But no, at this point, if the governor says that he wouldn't sign it as is, as of late last week, there were no changes. So at this point, I mean, unless, you know, labor groups and the advocates can convince him to sign this, then potentially there's a change. But at this point, it doesn't look like he would sign it.
How do these decisions, what the governor decides to veto or sign into law, what is the bigger message here in terms of his ambitions and his priorities?
I think that's one of the top line questions in a lot of aside from, yes, it's an election year, but you know, there's a lot of talk about the governor seeking higher office, potentially wanting to be president at some point, whether that's 2024, whether that's 2028. And I think a lot of all eyes are on him when he takes out ads in Florida, attacks the governor in Texas. And I think all eyes, really the nation is watching, you know, what he decides to do here. And so I think he's taking these decisions with extra careful thought, potentially with that in mind. Those who would say that he would like to be president someday, certainly the eyes are on that.
Yeah, I mean, these two policy pillars of climate as well as homelessness for California. But then also even going back, we had State Senator Wiener on about the safe injection sites, which the governor indicated he had some support for years ago before he was governor, and he vetoed that bill.
He vetoed that bill. He said that this just in these areas that there could be some unintended consequences of allowing these safe injection sites. That came as a surprise as advocates of this bill who, like you mentioned, said that, you know, he has indicated that he would support something like this. He says he wants, you know, his Health and Human Services Secretary, Dr. Galley, to convene with locals on you know, coming up with best practices and the best way to minimize, you know, any risks with these kinds of sites. But, you know, Senator Scott Wiener would argue that there's already plenty of data, 30 years worth of data in 10 different countries and 130 different sites showing that these work. And again, that's what Senator Scott Wiener would argue. And again, I mean, the jurisdictions that would have had these sites, they were all on board with having them. It's not like there was some sort of discontent with right. them passing it.
And it was three pilot cities, San Francisco, Oakland, and Los Angeles.
Exactly. Right. And the governor likes to say localism is determinative, and those local jurisdictions were willing to have them.
As it stands now, because you follow this very closely, is the governor running for re-election in terms of, you know, kind of the press conferences and the way he's publicly speaking, I guess?
Honestly, you would never know. You would never know. And he hasn't had a single campaign event, at least where media was invited. He does send a flurry of campaign emails, I will say that, and really just to uplift the Democratic Party and his energy goals and just, you know, likes to highlight again what's happening in other red-led states, Republican-led states. And so beyond those emails, though, no, you would never know that he was running for governor. In fact, I think I get asked a couple times, oh, is there a gubernatorial election? And the polling would indicate, I mean, he's okay kind of sticking with this track because he would win should potentially, according to the latest polling.
Yeah, I mean, even going back to yesterday, there was a press conference on the Flex Alert and the governor held a press conference, but there wasn't any media availability after, with him specifically, he diverted to his officials and his administration.
Yeah, we saw him. It was reminiscent of COVID times when he would do his Newsom at noon.
And we'd have to dial in and hope.
We'd have to dial in. I know. We'd just
hope
that we would get in the queue. And that wasn't the case. And potentially, you know, if I'm looking in the governor's office from the outside, outside. Potentially, he didn't want to face a flurry of questions on the last day of the legislative session of some of the bills that he might have to contemplate. And of course, you know, maybe he didn't want to comment on potentially what could come down the pipeline. We did see that public appeal for his energy package. But yeah, that was, you know, he hasn't been very he hasn't done a lot in Sacramento, I will say that, in the last couple of years. He likes to travel around and make himself available to media and other markets, and that's fine. But those of us who cover him, we just haven't seen that much of him in person lately.
Well, one person who definitely knows that there is a gubernatorial election is State Senator Brian Dahle. Yes. What stands out to you about him, especially during the end of session, because he is a state lawmaker?
Yeah, I would say that Senator Brian Dahle was ultra involved this session. Most parts of the governor's plan, I think he stood up to argue against it. And even last night in this Diablo Canyon bill to keep the nuclear power plant open, he was a no vote because he considered this a bailout of the governor that doesn't have a plan for energy. Again, these are his words, doesn't have a plan for this power plant and renewables and going carbon free. So I think, and we saw a lot of that throughout this session, a lot of the governor's just actions, period. I think Senator Dahle is trying to call out and trying to uplift himself because, again, as I mentioned, that polling shows that Governor Gavin Newsom would handily be reelected. So I think Brian Dahle is pulling out all the stops that he possibly can to make sure that he is heard. Mm.
Finally, the work doesn't stop for you, definitely not for the governor. What are the deadlines when it comes to these bills?
The deadline is, oh, geez. Well,
it's about a month.
Month to sign the bills. And so that's, you know, kind of the next stage in all of this. But this all comes under the specter of, you know, it's an election year. And a lot of the members that actually just voted on these bills being sent to the governor are not returning. And so, yeah, that's one of the pieces of this interesting legislative puzzle. But we shall see.
Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ashley Zavala is the California Capitol correspondent at KCRA3. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.